one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
We were over in the book of Galatians, and I greatly enjoyed the chapter that we shared, most of it, the third chapter of the book of Galatians. We're going to run over to another chapter, and we'll share that with you. It's the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians. Some interesting things are in this chapter, and the book of Galatians was written because the people had been taught salvation by grace, looked like we're heading back into bondage, and they wanted to put the yoke of religion back on again. He seemed to tell them some things that they didn't quite understand, but he's talking about salvation by grace. Now, in the chapter the other night, we were talking about the schoolmaster that brings people to Christ in the fourth chapter. And we're just going to mention this briefly, and we'll come back to the fourth chapter, and then we're going to take the fifth chapter tonight. He said, verse 16, 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Isn't that strange? But it's true today that unless you love the truth and know the truth, and that truth is Jesus, I'd become your enemy when I tell you the truth. But the fourth chapter is another message. I begin reading at verse 1, chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. And if you were to take the Bible away from us, I'd close the home down now. If I didn't have the Bible, my ministry would come to a screeching halt. I'd never have anything to offer this generation. My radio ministry would be canceled immediately. I'd never take another girl or boy. I'd never open my mouth again. I'd run off maybe to some quiet place where I could make a living. Of course, I wouldn't want to live. I don't know what I'd have to live for if I didn't have the Word of God, because it's my life. And that's what Moses said. He said, don't think it's a strange thing, because it's your life. It's your life. And this is what people live by. And so in the fifth chapter, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, Paul was talking about real liberty. The average person today, for instance, a little girl, she said, now, Brother Roloff, all I want to do is to be free. I said, what would you call freedom? And she was 14. She said, have my own apartment, live by myself, do what I want to do, and just absolutely be free. I just want to be free. I said, where would you get your money? Who'd pay the rent? That's not freedom. That's not real freedom. Somebody said, I want to be free to shoot dope, take dope. I want to be free to live. I got a letter from a girl, and she was greatly disturbed because her mother took her birth control pills away from her. She's off at a Christian school. The girl's all warped, and she said, Brother Olaf, I think my mother needs help. She said she's old-fashioned, and you ought to have read that letter. I mean, that's just some letter, if I ever saw one in my life. And she said, somebody told me that you were really sort of an expert at helping girls, and said, I need help with my mother. And so I answered the letter. I said, first of all, I'd like for you to give my best regards to your old-fashioned mother. I mean, just how much more is going to happen to our young people before Jesus comes again? We're in the end of the end time right now before the Savior shall come again. It must not be long, it could not be long, before the Savior will return to receive those who've been saved. A lady said to me, she's on her way with her daughter in the morning from a distant city. She'll be here by 10 o'clock. And she told me what religion she had, which you wouldn't give a dime for religion unless you know Christ. And she said, you know, we're all the children of God. I said, quote the rest of it. She didn't know the rest of it through faith in Jesus Christ. But you see, we're not all the children of God. What makes young people do what they do? What makes an old man do what he does? What makes people do what they do? You know, I brought a bunch of messages on that. He said, it's no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. Why is it? Let me share some things with you, I think, while I have them right here on my mind. And we'll come right back in a moment. I never dreamed that I'd live in a nation that would come to this. Now, this is some publicity here, isn't it? And here's the picture. And girls, isn't that a handsome lad? He's 15. He's fixing to go to the electric chair. Wouldn't you like to go witness to him, saying to him tonight? You see him over, see him sitting down in the old prison cell. And he said, you know, I go to sleep at night and I dream of my mother and I dream of my little old dog. And I just think, well, I'm home and he's licking my hand, you know, and so forth. But I wake up and I'm in the prison. Here he is. This is the filthiest thing that's ever been put in the paper. I never knew that our courts could get as low down as they are. The lawyer called the judge a son of a she-dog. Now, you think of that. I mean, listen, he ought to go to penitentiary himself. I mean, he used every sort of filthy, dirty, vulgar language, and they put it in the paper. That's the reason I can't take the paper. I'd never spend a dime for a newspaper. Why? They're too filthy. They're nothing but garbage collections. God's people are going to have to give an account for reading that stuff. I know it was sent to me, and I'm going to use it. But listen, for me to make an investment in anything as filthy as the newspapers are today, not me, sir. No, sir. Never again. And here he is, just a little boy. I don't have time. You see, there's a lot of it. Oh, there they are. Here's the smart aleck lawyer. And you know what he said about himself? He said, I am. And he used the word that begins with D. He said, that's how good I am, because I got him put away in the electric chair. He said, I'm plenty good. He said, I'm the best. There's none better than I am. Here's that smart aleck with a cigarette in his hand, see? That's some lawyer for you. And you talk about Phil. He's the guy, see? And he thinks he's done something. He's put a little boy 15 in an electric chair. And that sorry, crooked, low-down, trifling lawyer, you see, he's the one. And you know what happened? This little boy was picked up by a rich man along with two other boys. And they'd already been to get the beer, and there was one beer joint that wouldn't sell it to him because he was 15. And the man said, well, that's simple. He said, I'll go get it for you. He got the beer for him. And the boy drank 9 cans of beer. This little fellow right here. This little boy right here. He drank 9 cans of beer. Evidently the man was a homosexual. Because he was dressed in ladies' clothes when they found him. And he was dead. And the little boy will go to the electric chair. Or at least they sentenced him to the electric chair. But the thing I'm saying about is, this is the filthiest bunch of publicity that I've ever seen in my life to go in the newspaper, and the whole country ought to rise up against newspapers like that. And lawyers like that ought to be debarred. I mean, they ought to just absolutely take the license away from them and said, well, you're too filthy to go in a courthouse. And radio stations broadcast the trial, you see, and they got a lot of publicity out of it. And that's the wickedness of this hour in which we live. Can you imagine? Of course, you know I'd like to help that little old boy. Here's another, a district attorney with a cigarette in his hand, see, advertising the tobacco and all the filth that this old world goes after. Well, here's another one, and you read not long ago, these boys are waiting for the electric chair. They killed 3 officers. You know what did it? D-O-P-E, dope. They took 3 bodies home out of the Trinity River bottom to some widowed wives and little orphan children. It was dope. These boys, one of my good friends, witnessed to them and has won them to Christ. And now then, they said they've turned to prayer. They're spending their time reading the Bible and praying until it's all over. And there they are. I'm glad for that. I get to meet them on the other side, won't you? And I believe that. I believe Jesus saved them. I believe he's been down there and witnessed to them, told them the story, and they've accepted Christ, and that's a wonderful ministry. But they never had much of a chance. All right, beer in one case, dope in another. And there's 4 people dead. Coupled with that end-time sin of homosexuality. And so there we find death, rides again. And this is interesting, and I'd hate to think I didn't have as much conviction as these folks. Popular music, love scenes, arouse the girls, the study reports. The rock music has contributed, these papers are saying again, to the immorality. There's 7 little girls in this building tonight that have had babies, and practically every one of them will tell you that rock music inspired them in the wrong direction. And that's what they were hooked on. And if I had time, I could let every one of them give their testimonies tonight, and I believe they'd be unanimous in saying. And yet they've come out now, and yet this thing has entered our churches today. I mean, a form of religious rock. And I noticed some of our used-to-be leading preachers, who are now our misleading preachers, have entered into this thing. And so the newspapers continue to warn. Just like the police department came out and said to the ladies, please have the girls and women to put on some dresses that'll be of decent length because of what's happened in the country since the miniskirt was invented and accepted by the people and many times has crawled up in the churches. I'm just simply saying what the world has said. And so don't blame me if I have as much conviction as the world. I believe they're right about it, and we ought to do something. Here's something real interesting. I've known this before, but I never had mentioned it, but this is something that it makes sense, even though if you don't want to believe it, you won't believe it. But this lady, Mrs. Dorothy Retallick of Denver, attracted quite a bit of attention when Empire reported her experiments to determine the effect of music on plants. Music that kills plants. She showed that sweet, soft music helped plants grow, while acid rock music killed them in a short time. You can just frown at the facts, but that's the truth, see? Now then, she's carrying on another experiment, and it's supervised, of course, because it would be illegal. She now is growing marijuana, and marijuana is thriving under rock music. Now, y'all just think that over a little bit. Now, if rock music will wilt little rosebuds and flower petals, it'll do the same thing for the little girls that are trying to blossom and will never make it. And this generation has been a definite experiment, hasn't it? It's ruined a generation of our young people. Our young people's minds, they were hooked on it, they were dazed and doped, and they could not come out of it. And so this is an interesting thing, and it really is. But it makes sense. And so I believe I'll just stay with Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see. So I tell you what we're going to do, girls. We're going to stay with the sweet music. Haven't you all responded nicely to the right kind of music? No, I tell you, I believe we'll just keep singing. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Amen. In the mountain of His holiness, beautiful situation, the joy of the whole earth. His Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Now then, into the scripture again, Galatians chapter 5. And I got 2 other clippings where little girls are found dead. That said, Daddy, I'm just going out for a while. I'll be back at midnight tonight. And they never made it back. Now then, what's better? What is there that we could have that would be good and right? Let's read it. Verse 2, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now, how long has it been since you heard the message on falling from grace? We used to hear a lot about that. I believe he fell from grace. He must have fallen from grace. What would you do to fall from grace? Who was he talking about here? Well, he's certainly not talking about salvation by grace, because he's already told them that we're justified by the deeds of the Spirit, not by the deeds of the law. He said we're saved by grace, but he's talking about the people that they, depending on circumcision, which is an external ordinance or rite. And then he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 6, please. Romans chapter 11, it'll be verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we'll find what Abraham found out. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, he's saying this. If we have to work for our salvation, it's not a gift. You don't work for a gift, do you? See, nothing of God ever runs smoothly down here. Now, you remember that when you get in a hard place, won't you? Because you're going to face problems. I'll tell you, the next 9 months, we're going to have problems by the day and by the dozen. I've never put my hand to one thing in this world that was of God but what the devil put his hand against. And so don't think now that all the problems are going to be solved the first day of school. They're just going to start. Anything that doesn't have a problem is not worth fooling with. And the devil's going to oppose anything. Now then, that's exactly what some people believe about salvation. The wages of sin is death, but what? The gift. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. You believe he meant that? You don't mean he just gave me salvation. You mean I don't have to work for it? I don't have to do something to get it? If I do, it's not of grace. Now, don't misunderstand me, because you'd say, well, Brother Olof, if I thought I could be saved and he did it all, I'd just live any way I wanted to live. And I just want to tell you again, that's exactly what you can do, because he's going to give you a brand new set of wants when you get saved. You say, well, I didn't get them. Well, you didn't get saved either, honey child. But when the Lord came in, and listen, I wasn't like this till Jesus came in. You put that down. Don't you think now that I just was Mr. and Ms. H.A. Rolfe's good little boy, and I just kind of grew into being good. And my mother said, son, you're getting better every day. Every day and every way, sonny boy. Oh, you're getting better. Oh, no, it's just the opposite. If my mother told who she said to my daddy, every day and every way, he's getting worse and worse. I mean, he's getting meaner, sorrier, I'm telling you, more trouble. He don't want to mind. And that's exactly. I was going in the wrong direction, because that's my nature. That's my nature. I was born like that. And all of you were born like that. That's what explains delinquency. That's why every boy and girl's a delinquent when they're born. That's reading little children steal. That's reading to eat dirt and roaches and flies and everything else. That's reading to get mad, lose the temper, break out the window lights. That's reading to meddle all the time. That's reading they don't care about taking a bath. That's reading they don't care about putting on clean clothes. They're not born good. They're born bad. Why don't you get some sense in your head and realize that's what the Bible says about it? That's when we've got to do something with the children. What do you think the Lord meant when he said, train up a child, train up a... Why? They all come untrained. They all come untrained. We got a horse. That's right, registered, got the papers, everything. A jumping horse. We got a fence over here next to us. And sometimes girls will run. Because the horse can jump 6 feet. Well, that's a lot taller than I am. When y'all climb over that fence, he's not going to climb it. He's just going to jump. And y'all better watch the horse when he comes down on the other side here. Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad that the Lord put some jump in me for Jesus, aren't you? Did you know what they used to call Christians? They called them holy jumpers. That's right. That's right. They had such a good time. They just get happy and sing, and they just kind of jump around, you know. And they just had a wonderful time. They call them holy jumpers. Well, I'd rather be a holy jumper than an unholy jumper. Everybody's jumping for something, aren't they? Yes, sir. Football jumpers, you know, and all sorts of sport jumpers and so forth. Now then, he said, whosoever of you that are depending on circumcision and the things of the flesh, then he said, you've fallen from grace. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, and yet the Bible said by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can't you see that? And so the Galatians said, the Galatian Christians said, or the people over there in Galatia, they said, now we're going to have to work for our salvation. We're going to just work for it. But if it's a gift, you can't work for it. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, what did you do before you became a Christian? You could name it. You'd say, well, I cursed and I smoked and I was immoral and I lied and I disobeyed mother and dad and I cheated and I stole and same old thing. Just everybody, nobody tangled up in the world, you know. Now then, let me ask you this. What did you do after you got saved? You said, well, I did just like I did before I got saved. Only thing is you didn't get saved, did you? Because he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, you know the difference between a new car and an old car? Of course you do. You know the difference between an old dress and a new dress? Of course you do. Now, do you believe there's a difference between an old man and a new man? I do too. Do you believe there's a difference between a saved person and an unsaved person? Of course there is. All things are passed away. Behold, A-double-L. That's a lot of them in it. All things are become new. I like new things, don't you? I really do. I mean, I like the new challenges, new opportunities. I was going over four major projects, and all of them moving along fast and going along fine. And God is just a blessing. I like to tackle something new. You know, most people get so stale, and they get in a rut, and they never do get out of it. And finally, the rut becomes their grave, and they die and are buried in the rut. And so he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you're depending on the law or circumcision or church membership or baptism or the Lord's Supper or good works to save you, he said, you've fallen from grace and you think you're going to be justified by law. But he's already told us in another chapter, you can't be justified by the law or the deeds of the law or the deeds of the flesh or whatever you might be able to do. You have to be justified by faith. Now, this is the gospel we must get over to our people. Because until you know you're saved, you'll never enjoy your salvation. And he said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, believing you might have life through his name. And these are written that you might know that you have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. All right. For we through the Spirit, verse 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I mean, who got in your way? Y'all were making a good run. You were just going so good. Now then, who did hinder you? Didn't say what, said who did, didn't he? Who did hinder you? Somebody came along, got in their way. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This is a great verse. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little sin. And leaven is a type of sin. And it spreads real fast. And just a little leaven, just a little cancer, just a little bit of cancer. And first thing you know, it's growing. And the doctor, after a while, says, inoperative, inoperative. It's past being operated on and maybe sews you up and says malignant. And the doctor said, if I could have gotten it when it was little, see? You remember the story I told you about the man? A man got a little snake, a little boa constrictor snake, you know? And the man said, I'm going to make a demonstration out of this snake. And this was given great publicity. The man said, I'm going to prove to you that man is the master of the rest of creation. And he took that little snake. I mean just a little bitty snake. You know a boa constrictor snake is one of these fellows that's got a lot of power. They wind around you and just choke you to death just like that. I mean, their power is in their muscles and they squeeze in on you and you're done for. There's no way. I mean, they cut off your circulation, cut off your breath, you're dead. So the man let that little snake grow. I tell you, he fed it. He cared for it. He took care of it. He trained it. And he said, I want to show you that a man can train a snake, absolutely train a snake, and the snake will be his servant and do everything he tells him to do and be obedient. And there'll be no danger, not even in a snake, because I'm going to train him. And so he took the snake and he trained him. He fed him and he got big and grown. And the man had him trained so well until he put him in sideshows. And he had demonstrations with him. And he went into England. He went around the world with this big snake. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, this is where it start. And one day, I think it was in England or one of the foreign countries, he said, ladies and gentlemen, the people had gathered. He said, I'd like to show you what man can do to the animal kingdom. He said, back here, and he had a big cage. He said, back here, I have a huge, one of the most huge, one of the largest boa constrictor snakes that's ever been known.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message entitled, Reaping What You Sow. To receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3253. Include the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for at least $10, and we'd like to have at least a further gift if you can for the ministry. That's the way it's kept on the air. Now the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love. The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Roloff in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830 and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.